John chapter 9 tonight. We're going to be looking at some things concerning blindness. Blindness can be categorized as natural or as spiritual. Naturally speaking, one might be born blind, as the man we'll look at tonight in John chapter 9. A person might become blind, though, in old age or later seasons of life. Isaac in Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. Also Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. But as we look at Scripture, what we come to find is that blindness can be an inability to see, but blindness can also be an unwillingness to see. Scripture often treats blindness as a symbol of the human inability or refusal to realize the importance of God and the gospel. Natural and spiritual blindness crosses paths in John chapter 9. And that's why I want to bring your attention to some things from John chapter 9. Beginning there in John chapter 9, in verse number 1, we find that Jesus passed by and saw a man who was blind. The disciples of Jesus asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" The Jews had an idea or a belief that every illness was due to someone's sin. And if it was the case that a child was born with a deformity, they thought that the parents had definitely committed some sin. There were some rabbis who would take it as far as to say that even a baby could commit sin while in the womb, resulting in a child being born with a deformity. And so they wanted to know, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that this man had been born blind? The question was asked in such a way as to allow for either scenario to be correct. They thought they had Jesus on the ropes, that He would agree with them one way or the other, making the ones asking to look like they knew something. They boasted and arrogantly spoke of their knowledge. But what we often find to be the case is that when we see people for their disability or an inability, we're just like these disciples. Jesus, therefore, answered them, "Neither this man sinned, nor his parents." This man was not born blind because of his own sin, nor was he born blind because of his parents' sin. Concerning this particular man and this specific question Jesus was asked, Jesus answered that the blindness was not due to any sin. The next clause in Jesus' statement reveals the purpose or the result of this man's blindness. The term "that" in the clause, "that the works of God may be displayed in him," can indicate the purpose, meaning that the man was born blind so that Jesus could heal him, revealing the power of God at work. While on the other hand, the term "that" can indicate the result, meaning that the man's blindness offered an occasion for the power of God to be revealed. The second understanding is more likely because the same term clearly indicates result back in verse 2. And so it would seem that John is using the term in the same way here. And when Jesus continues verses 4 and 5, it's made even more clear. He said, "We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus demonstrated the power of God in healing this man. Jesus also illustrated His statement that "I am the light of the world." Notice verses 6 and 7. He said John wrote, "When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Jesus, illustrating that statement that he is the light of the world, presented an opportunity for this man to receive his sight. In a Hebrew, the name of the pool, Siloam, comes from a Hebrew verb, to send. The pool's name is indicative of Jesus' mission, that he was sent by God, and his command to those who would receive his blessings and become identified as his followers, as he would send them out as well. At the instruction of Jesus, this man who had been born blind obeyed. He went and he washed. He washed in the pool of Siloam, inside the wall at the southern portion of Jerusalem. As the man came back to his neighbors, John reveals that he was seeing. The neighbors and those who previously saw the man as a beggar continued, though, to see him as a beggar. They identified the man only by his physical situation of life and his physical location. As he continued with them, though, some said, "This is he." Still others of them could not believe that he was no longer one they looked down on, and so they said, "No, but he is like him." When something is difficult to accept, humans attempt to understand things by asking questions, and sometimes those questions are very shallow. The ones whose eyes were opened, answered their questions, and kept saying, "I am the one." Those who were still seeing the physical asked, "How then were your eyes opened?" You see, the people wanted a quick, non-complicated answer to this important question of how his eyes had been opened. But in response, the man answered what's recorded for us in verse number 11. He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." He basically restated exactly what had taken place concerning his healing. But those who were set upon the need of the man failed to rejoice with him because they were still fixated on the man's physical condition previously. Setting their minds on Jesus then, that is the people of verse 8, they ask, "Where is he?" But the man does not know. The man doesn't know where Jesus is. And because he does not know where Jesus is, the disciples were so focused on the physical, the man's problem, that they were not able to rejoice with him and chose rather to go after what was physically before them. Since Jesus, the healer, was nowhere to be found, the disciples turned their attention to the man. And ultimately, they turned their attention to his parents. First, those focused on the physical went after the man in verses 13 through 17. The neighbors and others reported in verse 8 and again in verse 12 brought the man to the Pharisees. John says that Jesus healed the man born blind on a Sabbath day, which the Pharisees would have taken issue with because Jews had made some very strict rules governing what could and could not be done on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees then asked the man how he received his sight. They asked him how he had received his sight in order to gain a better understanding, but also to try to fix the man in a tight position of responding to them with frustration. The man told them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." At this point, the Pharisees became divided about Jesus and what Jesus had done. So some of them said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." the force in that phrase is not from God, is a force of he cannot be from God. It's not possible for him to be from God. To the Pharisees, Jesus could not be from God because if Jesus were from God, he would keep the Sabbath law and he would keep all of the rules and regulations that they had added to it. The Pharisees were so quick to judge that Jesus was not from God. Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And indeed, that's a question to be answered, an important question, but they were blind to the answer of it as well. Although they were divided amongst themselves concerning who this man Jesus was and what he had done, they united together and said to the blind man, did you catch that? They are still fixated on the man's disability. Although he's been healed, although he can now see, they are still focused on him being that blind man. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" In essence, since you were the one that had the interaction with him, you tell us what you think about him. And the man answered, "He is a prophet." If you notice back there in verse 11 earlier, he referred to his healer as the man named Jesus. Now he claims belief that Jesus is a prophet. That the man's faith seems then to be, by his selected words, increasing. He recognized Jesus as a God-ordained wonder worker, which would just frustrate these Pharisees. It would frustrate these Jews that the man would accredit such an action to God and to accredit such to God through this man. So they turned their attention again. Yet still focused on the physical, they went after the man's parents in verses 18 through 23. In disbelief, the Jews would not accept the man's account of what had happened and how it took place, that he was formerly blind. They could not wrap their minds around until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioning them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" In the Jews turning their attention to the parents of the man, they were beginning to recognize that they were getting nowhere with the man, for he had a solid case that Jesus was the one who healed him and that Jesus was from God. Turning the attention then to the man's parents, would they acknowledge him as their son? Would they acknowledge him as their son of whose life they could attest to that yes, he was indeed born blind and that he had remained blind throughout his life until that encounter with Jesus? Would they tell a different accounting of how the man was now able to see? The Pharisees certainly hope so. But in the Greek text, it has therefore. Therefore, his parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind." They could attest to, they could answer the first of their questions, of the Pharisees' questions, that is, because proper knowledge would allow the man's parents to speak on his behalf and speak concerning him. They knew their son. They also knew the duration of their son's condition. But as concerning how he now sees, they could not give an answer, nor could they tell who healed their son. The parents pointed the Jews back to their son then, saying, "Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." The man was old enough to be a legally responsible person. And John tells us that the man's parents pointed the questioners back to him because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him, confessed Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, John says, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Fear caused the parents to divert attention from themselves. An agreement among the Jews to not confess this man, Jesus, to be the Christ, to be the Messiah, had scared the parents. They did not want to be excommunicated from the synagogue, so they would not acknowledge Jesus as being the one who healed their son for fear that that would be used against them and stretch just a bit and accuse them of confessing Jesus to be the Christ, to be the Messiah from God. Unable to dispose of the issue by denying the claim of healing, the Pharisees called the man in and said, "Give glory to God. Give glory to God." We would think maybe a statement of praise, a statement of their beginning to turn and recognize that this was indeed the work of God. But that phrase, "give glory to God," was a call for the man to take an oath, to speak the truth before God, because they were not convinced he was telling the truth. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 19 might be a passage for you to look at later for further study concerning this "give glory to God" being used as an oath, bearing one before God, openly acknowledging what they were saying and attesting to it being true. The Pharisees then denounced Jesus, saying, "We know that this man is a sinner." Did the Pharisees really go that far? Would they really be so blind as to say that Jesus was a sinner? Therefore, the man replied, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." The Jews accused Jesus of breaking their law, but Jesus healed the man of his blindness. Therefore, Jesus was superior to the law of Moses that could not heal. He had the power beyond the law of Moses, and they were able to see it on great display before their very eyes. So they said to the man, first a general question, "What did he do to you?" Then a specific question about the curing. "How did he open your eyes?" Their questions showed that their attention was now on the healer's actions, still looking at the physical. They were looking at the healer's actions. The man answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" The Pharisees sought only to affirm their own opinions. That's what they wanted out of the man. There was no interest in fairness that day. They reviled him, John said. They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses." That term "reviled" is an interesting term that indicates very strong verbal abuse. When they were not getting their way with the man, they turned to his parents. When they couldn't get their way with his parents, they turned back to the man. And then they begin to use verbal insults and accusations, verbally abusing the man, trying to beat him down so as to come into submission and tell them what they wanted to hear. "You are his disciple," translates a statement, "You are a disciple of that one." They referred to Jesus as that one. They distanced themselves from Jesus. They distance themselves from his claim. And so the Pharisees continued, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." Jesus had come from God, and the healing of the blind man ought to indicate such. But the Pharisees were blind to this truth. And as was the case back in verse 28, so now in verse 29, the Pharisees speak of Jesus in a very derogatory manner. Truly, the more they spoke against Jesus, the more they were condemning themselves. And the man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes." As if to say, if you would recognize that he did indeed heal my eyes and open my eyes, you would know where he was from. You would know he was from God. There's no other explanation for it. The man was therefore surprised. He was amazed. He was astonished that the Pharisees did not recognize the very work of God and the origin of the healer, being as they were such great proponents of God and his work. The man continued, "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him." Affirmation may have been given to a belief which Jews held to, wherein God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Yet for the God-fearing who does the will of God and offers a prayer of repentance, God will not only hear, but God will answer. But the man's point was not about understanding the statement. His statement and his point in it was to show that Jesus was God-fearing, that Jesus was connected with God. He was no sinner as the Pharisees supposed that he was. The man went on to say, "Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." In other words, we've never had this to happen before. If there's any way of this happening, if there's any possibility of a man being born blind and his eyes being opened so that he is able to see, it would have to be because God was in the work. "And if this man is the one who healed me, he has to be from God. Otherwise, he could not do it." Jesus did what no one before him could do. He healed the man born blind. Jesus had in him the very power of God. Jesus was and is from God, and the man defended Jesus. But they answered and said to him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" The Pharisees accused the man of being a sinner. They accused him of attempting to teach them. Oh, he could have taught them many things. But they chose instead to put him out. They put him out of the synagogue. In effect, they labeled the man and removed him from their hearing so they would no longer have to hear his story, his message. And they removed him from their place of influence. They rejected the message of God. They rejected the one who could teach all people. They rejected the man who could teach them many things about the joy that is found in Jesus Christ. A joy he saw and experienced physically. But upon hearing that the man was put out, Jesus went looking for him. And finding him, he said, "Do you believe the Son of Man?" Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, Who is he, Lord? As a sir, that I may believe in him. The man addressed Jesus with a polite form of address. He didn't know that Jesus was the Lord. He didn't know that Jesus was the very one whom had healed him. He knew who this man was. The man was not afraid of or not aware of who the Son of Man is. The incarnate revelation of God who gave His life for this world. But He wanted to know, and He wanted to know so that He might believe and that He might follow Him. So Jesus said to him, You have both seen Him, speaking of the Son of Man, and He is the one who is talking with you. The man responded, Lord, I believe. Then he worshiped him. The man was open to believing the Lord, verse 36. But now that he knew who the Lord was, now that he knew who the Son of Man was, he proclaimed, I believe. I believe. You see, the man born blind came from physical darkness to see. He moved from spiritual darkness to meet the light, see the light giver, and receive spiritual sight. The man came to faith in Jesus and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. The inevitable results of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the light coming into the world, is judgment on those who refuse to open their eyes to see the light. Jesus exposes sins. Once blinded by sin, Christians have come to Jesus having their sins exposed so that they may see and be healed. When one's sins are exposed by Jesus, that person chooses then faith in the Lord or spiritual blindness. A decision which the blind man had to make. A decision which those Pharisees had to make. You see, those who reject Jesus reject the light of the world, and while those who accept Him have the light of life, those of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these things and said to Him, We are not blind too, are we? Looking at John 9 very closely, it seems to be in this question that the Pharisees had the first and the slightest bit of the turning of heart. We're not blind too, are we? The Pharisees did not believe they were blind. They wanted to believe that they could see and that they saw things with a knowledge that was better than that of this blind man. However, if they would be honest about themselves at that very moment, honest about who they were and where they were in spirituality, they could have gained their sight, but in their spiritual blindness, they refused. They were before the very one who could heal them spiritually, just as that blind man had been healed physically. Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. If the Pharisees were morally blind, they would be without responsibility, thus have no sin or guilt. Jesus continued to say, "But since you say, we see, your sins remain." In arrogance, they claimed superior knowledge, but Jesus claimed that they were just blind sinners in need of healing, in need of forgiveness. You see, the Pharisees were blind. For if the disciples thought that the man was a sinner, why did they not teach him? Since he was disabled, why did they not help him or get him help? Since he was a beggar, why did they not assist him? While he was whole, able to see, why did they not rejoice? When he was telling them what happened, how it had happened, how he was healed, and who it was that healed him, why did they not believe? John indicates that they simply wanted to assign blame for the man's disability. They ask, what did he do to get in such a position? They assume the role of judge, offering judgment without help. They saw the same blind man Jesus saw that day, but they did not see the potential in him, the potential which Jesus saw. When John wrote those words, as he passed by, he saw a blind man, or a man blind from birth. John wants his readers to envision a man not for his disability, not for his inability, but for his potential. John wants his readers to read the story of this man born blind and see clearly that Jesus meets physical and spiritual needs. Both the blind man and the Pharisees stood uncovered before Jesus that day. The blind man's eyes were opened. His honesty was proven. He came to faith and he worshiped. The lives of the Pharisees, though, declared that although they claimed to see, that they were blind, their guilt was confirmed, their sin remained. We are not blind too, are we? When we focus on the physical so much that we fail to see the spiritual, when we focus on the physical and fail to see the potential, we're just like those blind Pharisees. Jesus, who heals, is revealed in Scripture to be the Son of God. It's clear and evident to anyone who reads it. But what's also clear and evident to anyone who reads God's Word is that Jesus was sent into this world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He came into the world to save that blind beggar who sat waiting for someone to help. And each one of them passed him by and let someone else meet his needs. Thankfully, Jesus came his way and Jesus met his needs. And Jesus can meet your need tonight as well. The physical things of this life, Jesus can see to it that they are taken care of. But His greatest concern is your spiritual needs. those who believe, Mark 16, verse 16, will repent, Luke 13, verse 3. They will confess, Matthew 10, verse 32. They will be baptized, Acts 22, verse 16, having their sins washed away. And they will live faithful to God's will, Revelation 2 and verse 10. No longer remain spiritually blind. Allow Jesus to heal your eyes, to open your eyes to the spiritual things, to help you see more clearly the real, true needs of those you cross paths with. The news for that blind man was that Jesus could heal. The same news was for the Pharisees. Jesus can heal. The news tonight is just the same for you. Jesus can heal. Will you be like the blind man and come to faith? Or will you be like the Pharisees and become blind?